Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, lines 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Right. Well, Happy New Year. It is good to be back with you all. Like I said, my family and I were gone the last couple Sundays. We had a great trip to Illinois, where our families are, to see friends, family, and of course to eat good food. We miss the pizza, especially. I know. If you haven't had good pizza, you feel like what's here is really good. Oh no, I'm starting fights. That's not what I meant to do. So, because we miss the pizza so much, you maybe won't be surprised to hear that three nights in a row we went out for pizza at various restaurants. Yes, it was amazing. We have the one limited opportunity to eat really good pizza, and so we took it. We went all in. Was it expensive? Of course. Did our digestive systems complain? Obviously. But we were committed to eating all the good food we could in the limited time we had, so we went all in on pizza. Well, today, as we continue this sermon series on our value of deeply loving in community, we're going to look at a community that went all in. They went all in, a community that really got what Jesus had done for them, and they let it change absolutely everything about their lives. Listen, if you're new here, if this is your first Sunday or you're kind of new maybe to just the whole church thing, I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you showed up this morning. I'm glad you joined us. And here at Harbor, as you've heard already this morning, our whole goal, our reason for existing as a community is to help people find their way back to God. We believe we are all on a journey to be closer to God, back to a deeper connection with God. And here at Harbor, we want to just walk alongside each other in our journey, wherever we might be. We say that the way we do that here at Harbor is to live fully in worship, to love deeply in community, and to give freely in service. Worship, community, service. That's what we're about. Our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, and our relationship with the world around us. This year is actually Harbor's 25th anniversary. In November, we celebrated 25 years. And so we're spending this school year kind of digging in deep on each of those three core values of ours. So for the next, seven or so weeks until Lent begins, we're going to be diving deep on what it looks like to love deeply in community. What it looks like to really be the kind of community God wants us to be. And as we make our way through this series, we're going to hear stories of how God is already doing that here. It's already happening. And we're going to be challenged about how we can keep leaning into that, keep becoming more and more beautiful, more and more healthy, more and more loving as we look ahead to the next 25 years. So I'm excited to talk about community with you all because, man, I think we live in a time when people are more isolated than ever and people are desperate for community more than ever, right? We live in a time when anxiety is on the rise. We live in a time when technology serves as an amazing tool for connection, but has also left a lot of people feeling more lonely than ever. We live in a time when anxiety about the state of the world has us looking for answers and also distancing from each other. Well, really, we need each other more than ever. I'm so grateful for Paul's awesome sermon last Sunday. The way he talked about love, that he reminded us that by loving each other well, that's how people who don't know Jesus will know we're serious about this Jesus thing. That's how they know we really mean what we say about a God who is love. And Paul acknowledged, right? Love is hard. It's hard to love the people I want to love, let alone the people who I kind of don't honestly want to love. So today we're going to look. We're going to look at a community of people that went all in on loving each other deeply. A community that was so changed by Jesus that it came out in the way they treated each other. It came out in the way they valued their time together. This community is the early church in the book of Acts. The book of Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke set about to document the life of Jesus and the life of the early church. He wanted to preserve a record of what happened with Jesus' followers after Jesus returned to heaven. And so the book of Acts starts with Jesus returning to heaven and the early Christians receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Most of chapter 2 in Acts contains this amazing story of how the church was kind of sitting around, hanging out together, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And when the Holy Spirit came on them, they had this amazing ability that they could speak in other languages, because in Jerusalem at that time, Jews from all over the world had gathered, and they didn't all speak the same language, but the Holy Spirit enabled speaking in different languages so that more people could hear the story of Jesus. Luke wants us to know that everything else that happens in the book of Acts happens because of this gift of the Holy Spirit. And so here at the end of chapter 2, we read how, through the Spirit, the early church operated. He's telling us this small group of people, how did it happen that they spread the news of Jesus all over the world? So I'm going to read one more time what Acts 2 says about the early church. The early church, it says, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who had a need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the courts, in the temple. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These verses tell us what the early church did, and then they tell us what God did. How the early church reacted to the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus had come to make people right with God. And then we see what God did with their response. I'm kind of a nerd, and so when I'm preaching on a passage, I love to dig into the original language that it was written in. So most of the New Testament, from where Jesus shows up in the Bible and on, most of that was originally written in Koine Greek, ancient Greek. And so I like to look at the words and see what meaning I can get out of the original Greek. And so this week as I did that, the first word I really took a deep dive into is that word that in verse 42 is translated as devoted. The early church devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The Greek word behind that English word devoted is proskartareo. Proskartareo. Proskartareo means to adhere to be constant, steadfastly attentive to give unremitting care, to persevere, right? These are like continuous action verbs. So Luke's telling us the early church was all in. What Jesus had said and done absolutely consumed them. The life and mission of Jesus was not for them some extra thing that they tacked on to their already full lives. They centered their lives around Jesus and what he'd done. It reminds me of when Jeremy and I brought home our first child, our daughter Esther, from the hospital. When you bring a baby home, you are absolutely devoted to them, right? You notice every tiny little noise they make. You take 3,000 pictures an hour so you don't miss anything. You wake up when they make those tiny little grunting noises in the middle of the night just to make sure they're still breathing. And then you call the nurse several times a day just to make sure any of those noises or facial expressions or things that you've noticed are okay and your precious little miracle is going to be fine. That's devotion, right? Your whole life wrapped up in the presence of this new little person. That's the picture Luke wants us to see of the early church. They were absolutely devoted. They weren't like, okay, so how often do I have to like go to church so that, you know, I look like a good Christian or whatever? No, they were looking actively for every opportunity they had to get together and learn and grow with other followers of Jesus. They could not get enough. And in fact, that same word is found again in verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The same word that's translated devoted in verse 42 is the word translated here as continued. So it's an ongoing commitment. This meaning has to do, right, with continuity, with commitment. The early church was deeply committed to what Jesus was doing in their midst. And in Acts 2:42, Luke says the early church was devoted, committed to four things. First, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. These guys were hungry to learn about Jesus. That was the apostles' teaching, was telling the church what Jesus had told them, what they had seen Jesus do. So they got together every chance they could to learn more, hear more. They had found out that Jesus was the fulfillment of everything they had hoped for. They knew that Jesus was the one who brought life, who brought joy, who brought peace, who brought justice. And so they wanted everything they could possibly get of who Jesus was and how Jesus wanted them to live. They were hungry to learn. I'm like this when I find a new author or a new TV show. I want to watch that new TV show as quickly as possible. It's on like all the time because I can't get enough. I want to check out every book by this author and like read them all really quickly because I just want it. The early church was like that. They were hungry for God's word. They knew they'd experienced something new and they just couldn't get enough. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to learning about God and his kingdom. The second thing Luke says they were devoted to was fellowship. Fellowship. This word fellowship, I kind of wonder if in modern times we've sort of diluted fellowship to mean just hanging out, right? Just like being together. That's fellowship. Being together is certainly part of fellowship, but that word means so much more. Can we talk about Greek again? So the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship. Koinonia, that same word that's translated fellowship here in verse 42 is translated in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. In common is the same word as fellowship, okay? It's the same word Paul uses in Romans when he says one of the churches wants to make a contribution to the poor in Jerusalem. You see where I'm going? Koinonia is more than just being together. Koinonia, fellowship, is saying whatever I have belongs to you. Whatever is mine is for us. The early church committed themselves to living out the idea that they were a community, a fellowship. Whatever they had, they voluntarily made available for the good of the whole community. It's like that scene in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, where Frodo has just said, I will take the ring to Mordor, though I do not know the way, right? And then you have all the guys stand up and they're like, you will have my sword and my bow and my axe. And then Elrond says, you shall be the fellowship of the ring, right? They're not a fellowship because they thought it would be fun to like go get pizza together, right? They're a fellowship because they have a common purpose. They're a fellowship because they're committed. They're all in. And they're a fellowship because they are each giving of themselves, their sword, their bow, their axe, to see that mission completed. That is fellowship. And that's what the early church committed itself to, devoted itself to. So they devoted themselves to learning more about God and his kingdom. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, the giving of themselves for the sake of each other and their mission. And Luke also says that the early church devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, breaking bread in the Bible can have two meanings. It can mean they just ate together. Or after Christ, after his death and his resurrection, breaking bread also can mean remembering Christ's death and resurrection together by taking communion. And those two things were linked, right? Communion wasn't like a separate thing. Here we have communion together on Sunday mornings, but in the early church, it was just part of the meal they had when they were together. Because every time they ate, they would have bread. And every time they had bread, they would recall Jesus holding up his bread at the Last Supper, declaring that he was to be broken for them, for their forgiveness. So the early church made time to be together doing mundane things like eating meals. And as they did that, they reminded each other of what Jesus had done for them. Luke is showing us that even the mundane daily activities of the people of God have been transformed. And as the early church made time with each other a priority, they were reminded of what Jesus had done for them. Finally, Luke tells us that they devoted themselves to prayer. The early church spent time intentionally, spent time together in prayer. They prayed for each other. They prayed for those they loved. They prayed for their city. They prayed for those in need. They made a habit of praying together. The early church was all in. They were all in. They were all in on learning, all in on fellowship, all in on spending time together, all in on prayer. Luke is showing us that this early church community, they weren't just a bunch of like half-hearted seat warmers, consumers, spectators. No, they weren't like that. They were all in every day, like Olympic level athletes who don't skip leg day. They made following Jesus together in community the absolute highest priority in their lives. This sounds pretty cool. There's a reason when churches, you know, if someone plants a new church or there's a new season in a church, we go to this passage often because it sounds amazing. Who wouldn't want to be part of that? This church that was so completely connected and deeply committed to each other, so deeply committed to their mission of helping the world know about Jesus. And that's what Luke says. He says that all that devotion, all that persistence, all that commitment to each other, it led to some pretty amazing outcomes. Verse 43 says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. As the early church made their faith and their faith community a priority, as they committed themselves to learning about Jesus and committed themselves to praying for each other and spending time together and sacrificing for each other, as they did that, they were amazed at what God did with that. There were signs and wonders. People were healed. People found their way back to God. Luke's telling us, listen, if you, like the early church, will commit yourself to the way of Jesus, you will see Jesus at work. If we commit ourselves to prayer, we will see prayers answered. If we commit ourselves to learning about God and his kingdom, we'll get to see God bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Verses 44 and 45 say that all this generosity, this way of seeing as self as part of the community, it led to greater and greater generosity. They held everything in common. They didn't consider their own stuff to just belong to them. Someone sold that extra field that they hadn't really done anything with anyway so that their brother or sister in Christ could keep their house. They gave generously. Luke is telling us, listen, if we will commit ourselves to real fellowship, where we all bring what we have to serve each other, we will see people's needs met. When we love deeply, we will experience being deeply loved. And verse 46 says that they had glad and sincere hearts. They were full of joy over what God was doing. Verse 47 says that the people around them were drawn to them as well, that they had favor with all the people. People who weren't even followers of Jesus wanted to see what was going on in this community. And verse 47 ends with, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's like what Paul said last week. When we love each other, that is how people get curious about Jesus. When we commit ourselves to loving deeply, people find their way back to God. And listen, I'm not saying that we can like do spiritual activities to manipulate God, right? We don't like read our Bibles and pray and give to each other to force God's hand. That's not what we're saying here. We're just acknowledging the reality that when we go all in on our faith, and when we go all in for our faith community, God can work through us in new ways. When we're paying attention to what God wants, when we're spending time together on purpose, when we're praying for each other, when we're eating meals together, when we're looking actively for how we could use our assets to serve each other, well, my goodness, it's easy for God to bless a community like that. My goodness, it's easy for God to grow a community like that. My goodness, it's easy for God to flood a community like that with joy. Right? That's Luke's point. This is Luke's big idea. If you want to be deeply loved in community, you have to go all in. If you want to be deeply loved in community, if you want to find what you're looking for in community, you got to go all in. You have to love deeply. You have to commit yourself, devote yourself to the community. We're longing for connection. We're longing for community. And Luke wants us to know that that's why God gifted us the church. The church is supposed to be that place of community, a place where people are loved and cared for, a place where people's lives are changed as they encounter Jesus. But it can only be that if we all devote ourselves to building a community like that. If all of us devote ourselves to learning, if each of us as individuals and as a community would commit ourselves to doing the work to learn more about who God is and what God wants and what his kingdom is supposed to look like, if each of us spends time with Jesus, reading our Bibles, praying on our own, and then doing it in community, my goodness, it's the beginning of the year. If you've never downloaded like the Bible app, YouVersion has an app called the Bible app, and it's so good. You can even take out your phone now and download it. I don't care if you can just like not listen for the next few minutes. Take out your phone and download it if you don't have it. It's really great. There's tons of plans that will help you read through the Bible in a year. You can invite someone else to be your friend on there, and you can read it together and connect with each other. Harbor Women has a profile on YouVersion, and you can join with the Harbor Women as they go through devotions throughout the year. But do something. Do something this new year to devote yourself to the Word of God. And our community can only thrive to its fullest potential if all of us devote ourselves to koinonia, to fellowship. If all of us decide that we are not simply here to just partake of the programs and services that leave us feeling good, but that we're here to contribute. We contribute, right, financially to help keep the lights on in this beautiful building where people feel safe when they've maybe been hurt by church or are afraid of church. You contribute to that. You contribute volunteer time to make coffee or serve with our kids or our students. We contribute our belongings to each other here at Harbor, our cars, our money, our homes, because we understand that for us to thrive as a community, the whole community has to pitch in. And can I tell you, Harbor, I see this all the time around here. I really do. In the past year, I saw a couple lend an extra car to a young person who'd been in an accident. I saw someone donate her time to write thoughtful notes to grieving people. Someone else here at Harbor contributed their love for dogs to stay with our family dog while we went to Illinois so that we wouldn't have to worry about Addie. Maybe you don't have to have money to contribute here in the community. It's not about money. It's about whatever you have, your time, your skills, your spiritual gifts, space in your home. Maybe what you can do is pray. Not all of you know Kitty Barton. Kitty Barton is 93 and has been a part of Harbor since before Harbor existed. She hasn't been able to be here in the building physically for years, but Kitty loves this church and she prays for us. If you have ever submitted a prayer request on the connection card, Kitty prays for you still. She prays. Right? Everyone here has something to offer the community. Our community can only thrive if all of us devote ourselves, of course, to learning God's word and to contributing, but also to spending time together with each other, right? Breaking bread, showing up to be together. If you just show up on Sundays and kind of hustle out the back door as quickly as possible after service is over, friends, you're missing out. And listen, I know there are a lot of reasons why it takes people sometimes a while to feel safe to be connected in at a church. I get that. And I want you to know that when you step out beyond just Sunday morning, there's so much more for you here. This community has so much love to give. And listen, if you are here at Harbor, God brought you here because he knows we need you. We need your gifts. We need your personality. We need who you are for Harbor to be the community we're supposed to be. So yeah, as Donna said, in the next few weeks, we'll have opportunities to join a journey group. That's such an easy way to just start getting to know people. Jump into community. Maybe there's somebody that you sit kind of close to because we all sit in the same spots every Sunday. Maybe there's someone you sit close to and you could be like, you know what, maybe do you want to go out for dinner sometime together? Or, you know, I know you have kids. Do you want to like go sledding together or go to the park when it gets nicer out? Right? But deeply loving each other requires intentionality. Intentionality to spend time together. And finally, our community can only flourish if all of us are all in on prayer. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. When you go to your journey group and you go around and share prayer requests, write them down and spend a few minutes every day praying over those things. Write down what you hear people pray about here on Sunday mornings. Write it down. Pray for each other. In the past, I had a friend who was working through a really big decision, and so I just set an alarm on my phone. At 12:34 p.m. every day, my alarm went off and reminded me to pray for my friend. Maybe you need to do that to help you get in a habit of prayer. Because if we want to be a church that really, truly loves deeply and everyone feels deeply loved, well, then we have to devote ourselves to loving deeply in community. We have to devote ourselves, work hard at, continue to learn together, contribute what we can, spend time together, pray together. And when we do that, it is beautiful. It's beautiful. Like I said, I see examples of this around here all the time. A little over a year ago, somebody on a Sunday came up to me after church with just a handful of cash. I don't know who needs this, but I know I'm supposed to give it to you. This man had been devoting himself, right, to learning about who God is and how God wants us to function in community. He listened to God in prayer. He knew he needed to contribute what he could for the community to thrive. And he didn't know who needed what he had to give, but he knew that he was supposed to give it. And so he came up to me after church and handed me a couple $100. Not 10 minutes later, I got to pray with someone at Harbor who'd been going through the training to become a foster parent. She knew what she had to offer was a home for space with a child or two. And that morning, she told me that she was about to bring home her first foster child just in time for Christmas. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but it seemed pretty clear to me who that money was supposed to go to. These two faithful followers of Jesus devoting themselves to the way of Jesus, devoting themselves to the community, devoting themselves to loving deeply, and through that, experiencing being deeply loved. This is what happens when we devote ourselves, commit ourselves to loving deeply in community. And so my challenge for each of us is, this is a new year. What is one thing you could do, one step you could take to devote yourself to this community like the early church did? How can you devote yourself to learning about God? Maybe it's a step of your own personal time with the Lord. How can you devote yourself to contributing what you have? Maybe to think about, what is it I have that I could offer to others? How could you devote yourself to spending time with other people? How could you devote yourself to prayer? Pick one thing to try this new year, one way that you'll devote yourself to these things so that Harbor of Hope continues to grow more and more into a community where people are deeply loved, finding their way back to God. Let's pray. God, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the amazing way we see what it looks like to give of ourselves for others in you, in Jesus, in your sacrifice. Lord, we all are here longing to be known and to be loved. And so help us, God, help us be a community that prioritizes loving deeply. Especially now, God, we know there are so many things that compete for our time. But can you help us, God, just look for, show us one way this year that we can devote ourselves to being the community you want us to be here at Harbor. God, we are so thankful for the gift this community is. We know we have something special here. It is a gift, and we thank you for it. So help us just keep leaning in, keep being all in, to keep building this place so that more and more people can see that we love because you love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.